Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. This week, I am joined by the one and only Glenn Jones, who many of you will recognize as being the founder and the face of HypnoSummit. Glenn, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Lawrence, I'm thrilled to be here. It's an honor to be here.
Now, let's start with HypnoSummit. Like, I mean, this has proven to be a very successful online conference for the past 2 years. It's arrived with a roar. People are loving it. How did it all come about?
Well, it's actually very simple. COVID started it. I was
Let's go for the obvious.
It's a result of COVID because I had my practice. I was helping people, and suddenly COVID struck. And you know, in Belgium, it's not really common to do therapy online. In the USA, probably in Australia, Canada, it's more common. UK probably too. But in Belgium, this is not something we know. So I thought, okay. And also out of respect for my family, I would say we said, like, let's keep the bubble as small as possible. So I talked with Nele, my wife, who supports me in so many ways. And I thought, like, what a great experience would it be if I could interview the best in the world by organizing a virtual conference, because that is just like the key that opens doors. And that was basically my first intention, just to interview people that I look up to and learn from them, because confidence is all about practicing, but it's also about understanding things better and better. And so that's how it all came about.
So it's interesting that, you know, it came about from that. In talking to these fantastic leaders of hypnotherapy worldwide, did you find your own confidence changing from a result of that? What did you experience from that?
It is actually something that goes up and down, mm-hmm. because this is the thing with hypnotherapy, and not only with hypnotherapy, but with so many other things. It is basically you start to learn something, you start to practice with it, but then you learn new things. And I have done so many trainings, and at a certain point, things get like, oh, which technique should I use? What should I do? For this particular case, for this particular person. And so the more information you get, the more blurry things become. So then I came in a stage where things got back together. It's what I call connecting the dots. Yeah. So I started to say, okay, what are the patterns? What are the things we are doing with this technique? What are the things we are doing with this technique? And by interviewing people, that was my main goal, understanding the things behind these techniques. I'm not a guy who just wants to learn a technique and copy it and see what the result is. I want to understand what we're doing. And that's not easy with hypnosis in general, because hypnosis is a concept. There's no scientific proof that there is actually such a state. And so these are all concepts. And basically, I'm now at a level where I simplify things and move from intuition. And so these interviews, sometimes they made things more complex for me, because I thought, like, how do I have to connect this with the other things? Or sometimes it was like, oh, hey, I want to try that. I look forward to my next client. So it's an up and down road.
Who do you think out of the people you've spoken to has had the greatest impact on simplifying that hypnosis for you?
The speakers who were, oh, gosh.
Particularly, you know, that you really resonated with their their way of thinking about the work they do? Or, you know, is there someone who you thought they're onto it, what they're doing really works for how I work as well?
Well, to be honest, it's hard to find one particular person because it depends on it depends actually on how I felt at that moment, what my knowledge level was and my experience level was at that point of the interview. So 1 year later, it can change. So, but for example, Anthony Gailey is a person that really connect. He connected with me because I want to understand the things behind those techniques, and he is so experienced, but he still is questioning these things and challenging these things. He's hugely confident. It doesn't have anything to do with that, but it's just like, if we could just understand one level more, it would be so amazing. And that quest, that journey is something that really resonates with me. Yeah.
Where did your journey start with hypnotherapy and hypnosis?
Oh gosh. My journey started, when I was a student, I organized big events like 6,000 people, and I was really proud. I had I built up some credibility, a network at a young age, and I really felt really confident. But then at my age of 21, I organized an event in such a big arena of 15,000 people, and I had to cancel it after 2 years of work because basically there were some mistakes I made, too little experience, etc. But I had a burnout after that. And so I started with, after a few years later, I did therapy of all kinds. I love experimenting. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, I did a 2-year leadership course, and I had no idea that it was about NLP. I didn't even know NLP at that point. So it was basically just for me. And I learned during those 2 years a lot about Tony Robbins and helping people. And you have to know, I studied information technology, mm-hmm. And marketing. But if I would not have done that, it would be psychology. It would have been psychology. So at a certain point, I had my company, which was a digital marketing agency. And I said, I want to do more with that. I want to help people because in marketing, it's all about numbers, Lawrence. It's all about, oh, we have some great success. We had a great success this month. How can we make it better? Oh, this month it was a little bit less. How will you solve that? It's always about making more money. And to be honest, for me, that's not a big driver. I want to help these clients, but after a while it was like, and so after a few years, the company didn't give me enough energy. And so I outsourced everything to new people. So the company is still there. It works. But I thought, like, I want to do something more emotionally connected. And then I enrolled in hypnosis trainings because I'm very actionable. I love to do quick fixes. I love to handle things in the most effective way. And so since then, I enrolled so many trainings, have my own practice, helping people with ups and downs. And that's basically my journey, I guess.
So, you know, I always ask this question, and it always ends up feeling a little bit like something would do in hypnotherapy anyway. But if you could go back in time, back to that version of Glenn that was starting out in hypnotherapy and hypnosis, what advice would you give to that version of you to help them perhaps speed up their process or become a little more comfortable with learning this new approach?
I think that's a great question, Lawrence, because that really goes into the depth. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say don't do that many trainings. Start with one and move from there. Practice, practice, practice. The second thing I would say is this is an ethical thing, because you have those trainings of 2 days where you learn to heal someone from trauma in 1 hour. Like, wow, how cool is that?
A whole hour. Wow.
A whole hour.
Yes.
It's incredible. I was one of the students there, and it for me, all these people there, they were encouraged to go and practice. And I thought, I have no clue what trauma actually is. I have no clue how I can help someone who says to me, I feel suicidal. And then, so I would say, make sure the training you select is something that is, maybe you need another one or a third one, but it's not multiple techniques. It's making sure that you are really confident in understanding the things you are working with, because we are working with people. And so that would be my second advice to myself. The third one I would say is keep on dreaming and keep on making that vision of what you want to achieve, because it's so important. And feel the passion, because that is the passion that you will need to understand things, to read books, to experiment, and also to reach out to other people, work together with other people, get away from that few square practice room and work together with other people. And maybe the last thing I would say is measure results. Because that is, for me, Lawrence, one of the biggest issues in mental health care or in hypnotherapy or whatever. It is, you know, I went to my first training, and I remember, like, I'm that guy that asked, like, hey, but what are the results? What are the results? What do you achieve with this technique? What you've just learned is in 7 days. I got so many answers. I got, 70, 80% is healed in 1 hour, in one session. And then there are teachers that say, no, it can be 5 sessions, it can be 10 sessions, it can be 15. Go with it. But anyway, if I ask, like, what are the results? There are quite straight up answers. Like, wow, this is incredible. And this is a confidence killer. Because if you don't meet those results, you're not doing it right. Mm. That is what plays in your head, right?
That's a KPI in a sense.
Sorry?
A KPI, key performance indicator.
Yeah.
You're in corporate talk here.
Yeah. You have to have smart goals, right? So the problem with that is, my second question was always, but how do you know? How do you measure that?
Yeah.
The answers on that, Lawrence, are horrific. These are like, well, if they don't come back, it means, oh my gosh. But this answer for me,
we're verging into self-talk area here, where we're making meaning out of our thoughts that may not be real. They may not come back because their problem may have been resolved. But it's also, it's. I get what you're saying, and there's nothing worse than, like, I mean, I think this is why smoking cessation is one of those ones that can terrify people, because it's a very black and white thinking of either they stop smoking or they don't. And if they don't stop smoking, that must mean I'm not very good at this.
And on top of that, if what we say, we measure success when they stop smoking, and 1 year later you see them, and they became huge because they ate they had another coping system. I mean, these are things, the measure of success, measuring success is something that is, there's a complete lack of that. And so the same people are advocates for hypnotherapy, but if they say like, well, if they don't come back, of course, if they have to pay $150, they will think about, is this valuable for me or not? So it is actually not following up is even contradictory if we talk about advocating hypnotherapy. And what the most frequently thing I've heard is, well, they send an automated email and based on the responses, but the key thing is they don't know. Nobody knows.
Really don't know.
Nobody knows. Unless the only way, there are two ways, I guess, that you can learn more about it. The first way is if you don't be like a general practitioner and you just like, hey, it's your responsibility to make an appointment, but I will follow up for a next session and a next session until I am sure that it works out. That is one solution, but you will never know in the long term unless you invite them 1 year after, but nobody does that.
Yeah.
Not licensed psychologists don't do that. But I think that is the care of mental health care. It is not just, let's book a session, let's make it something quick and then go. The second thing is by using technology and to measure, because for example, if I would be trained by Tony Robbins, well, he has a great success rate and that, but for me to gain confidence, it will be very hard to get to his success rate because he has a marketing machine. He has so many other things, credibility, he has an event of 6,000 people, energy. He has, people just have to look in his eyes and they're in trance.
So for me, to his event and they feel like a change is going to happen.
It's already placebo.
Already effect. Happening.
Already happening. So for me to build my confidence, I would have to look at the results of my students, my fellow students, and not the results of my mentor. And so I really believe that this is one of the missing parts. It's a system error where if we want to gain confidence, we should measure things. In Belgium, if you go to the university and study as a psychologist, after, I'm not sure how it is in Australia, but you then as part of your training, you have to invest 1 year as an internship to work free. But there's something sitting in the back who is continuously giving you feedback every session for 1 year. What an amazing experience is that? And here after 7 days, oh, go ahead, help your friends.
Seems and it's interesting isn't it? Because we're dealing with people's, you know, psyche. We're dealing with their minds. It's a very important thing that we're working with. So you'd think there'd be a lot more safety measures, more measuring performance and success. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think if mentors would, I'm following a 4-year training right now. I'm in the third year, woohoo, as a licensed psychotherapist. And even there, so it's not university, but even there, they say like, you have to do some sessions, of course, but give us an Excel sheet with with what you did and give us some information about it. But what we need is, it would be so great if trainers would see like, hey, Lawrence, I see you had some trouble with a few clients. I see it. I can follow the metrics. I see that their symptoms are still there. Show me your videos and let me help you, of course, at a price, but let me help you and support you to get and build your confidence. It's very, the thing, and this is my main concern, the main challenge in the system we have right now is that we are really responsible ourselves to do the journey. There's no structural guidance for it. It's just like, hey, ask your friends if they can help you. Well, it doesn't work like that. How was your experience with your friends, your first friends that you wanted to help?
It was interesting because my course was actually a 2-year course. And so it was, you know, it was kind of funny because I went to a place where while they did hand out scripts, they never encouraged script use. I always like, well, let's learn parts. And they encouraged us to be as scriptless as possible. But I think also when you're first learning hypnotherapy, there's this almost this idea that the magic is in the words, which is, you know, completely false, of course. But you do end up, I think, sitting there with your words for the progressive muscle relaxation, because you have to say it exactly on the page or else it won't work, will it? And so I think initially there was that, the reason why as a student, it was more about, not necessarily about the hypnosis, but about being in a situation where it's like hypnosis and getting comfortable with being in that situation so that eventually I can move away from the scripts and actually focus on the real hypnosis as opposed to this seemingly role play hypnosis that I was doing in order to get used to being there. Does that make sense, or am I complicating it overly?
No. I like the idea.
Yeah, it was more about, okay, well, I have to do these, and who knows? Maybe the people I worked with were really experiencing something that was useful and beneficial for them. You know, many of them said they did, but there are also some that were quite blunt with me and went, I'm not feeling anything. And, you know, when you get that kind of feedback, that can be a bit confronting and a bit upsetting. But, you know, I can look back now at that younger version of me learning and say, well, yeah, probably because you were too busy wondering about if you're getting the wording right as opposed to just being present in the moment and calibrating on the person in front of me and looking to see if something's happening and noticing those unconscious cues that are going on and being able to pick up on that. You know, that's, I think, the difference between the two that happened there.
I got you. Well, it's interesting, but it you know, if you say like, hey, it's a 2-year training, and I love that, but especially after there are a lot of people who just start with a 5 or 7 day training.
Yes,
and they are encouraged, and it's good that they are encouraged to say like,
it's the seed that's being planted that might further grow.
Yeah.
Hopefully not into a weed, but it will grow. So.
Yeah. But that was one of the issues I had, especially if it comes to confidence, is you start with family and you start to practice with them. But it's hard to say like, hey, I can, I've learned how to support people with trauma, or for example, with a phobia, let's make it more simple, or with stop smoking. And I have to say, I did not manage to help one friend stop smoking. Not one.
Do you think that's not because one. they have you as Glenn the friend, not Glenn the hypnotist?
And that's the issue with helping friends after short trainings. I had a 7-day training at that point, and suddenly your identity shifts a bit in your head, but not in other people's head. So basically, in order to get more practice, I think it would be great if there are communities of people that, hey, I volunteer. And these are things I want to create, because my mission is to make hypnotherapy as effective as possible. But confidence is a hugely important part. Like, if you need face surgery, Lawrence, would you go to a surgeon who said like, I think I can fix your nose? Probably you will say, you will not touch my face.
Honestly, it could be argued that I should have face surgery. I am getting to that age. But you're absolutely right. I'd want to see someone who is qualified for this, not someone, you know, I'm not going to do it just because a mate studied surgery and said, hey, I can give you a discount. I've just learned it. Do you want to give it a try? So,
yeah, of course. Of course. And so if I look at university in Belgium, and I only speak for Belgium because I have no idea what happens in the rest of the world, you can help people in a safe environment with people who give feedback. And I think one of the things we should create is first measuring things, but also making sure that you can work with people in a safe environment, people who volunteer. And online, there's incredibly, there's a lot possible. Yeah. And I think if you want to gain confidence, this is one of the things that is missing right now.
Mm.
There are not for everyone. There are trainings like Melissa Tears. Mm-hmm. If she does a lot of effort to help people that way, but it's a minority of trainers who do that right now. And I don't blame them because that's generally how it works. But it would be great if there would be a platform, a system that is there to use. And it's only based on my own experience because I miss that. And I think like, oh gosh, if I would have that opportunity, that would speed up my process. That would speed up my process so much. Mm.
And it's interesting because I think the pandemic has made a lot of hypnotherapists who I personally believe were quite technophobic prior to the pandemic embrace technology. And I'm seeing that there are a few communities for hypnotherapy popping up online, and people engaging and talking, which is fantastic. Absolutely. So it'd be interesting to see if that vision you have can certainly become more of a reality. I agree. It's the gap. Unless people practice, they're not going to be able to fine tune those approaches and techniques that they may have learned, because we all know that you can learn a technique, but the chances of a textbook client coming in where it works absolutely perfectly, not as frequent as long as you'd like. And the only way you get around that is to have a few curveballs thrown at you and to trust your knowledge, your innate knowledge, to be able to adapt and modify what you know on the way.
Yeah, well, this is one of my biggest challenges is sometimes things work so quick.
Mm.
For some people with some techniques, and personally, I think it's also a match between me and that person. But sometimes it doesn't.
Mm.
Sometimes it just takes a lot of time. And sometimes I have to refer someone to someone else. And I think I'm charging someone here. And apparently there's something, and I don't have to feel bad about having multiple sessions. I think we don't have to focus on one session solutions. If it works, it's great. It's amazing. But that's not how therapy, right? Even more, I believe in growth programs where you go from one thing to another thing, as long as the client is willing to go for that and is motivated for that. But what I wanted to tell you, I'm just a little bit confused now. What I wanted to tell you is, So my challenge is, why is that happening? What are the patterns of this person? And what are the patterns we can see in success rates, depending on the person, the client, the issue, the technique, and my profile as a hypnotherapist? And if we could understand these patterns, look, hypnosis can work brilliantly, but probably not for everyone and for every issue. So if we can find out, based on data, what the patterns of success are, we can start matching people and say like, hey, we've got a great client for you because of, we know what you do because of those, because of the data. And if we get there, and I think it's like within four or five years, we don't have to be marketeers anymore. We can focus on what we love to do, because right now we almost have to be a marketeer and have to think up with websites and advertisement and whatever. And all these kind of problems, I think, what you said, like, what do you think your vision will become reality? I'm quite sure that there's a huge opportunity there to make it reality. And I'm working on it on a daily basis.
It sounds like an exciting vision to have, though. And I mean, if anyone can pull this off, it's Glenn Jones, to say the least. Obviously, it's kind of funny because, you know, you're talking before about your background in marketing and, you know, the digital marketing. And it's like, I really just hear this as being the colliding of those two worlds and smashing up and becoming this new stream for you altogether.
Yeah. Well, you have people who just start with a course of hypnotherapy and want to start as a therapist. Mm. But there's a huge journey there. Mm. And we have to map out that journey and help those people. Hey, where are you in the journey? What are your challenges? And where do you need help with? But you have people who have a practice for years and just want to learn another technique, but they have other needs. And so if we can make a few, we just have 1, 2, 3 journeys and help people in the phase they are in with the challenges they have. And there are so many trainers and so many mentors out there, people like you who can be involved in that. And people say, like, hey, I can help people with that part of a puzzle. And of course, there's chemistry there. And I think this is a great way to start. And we have to do it in step by step. So my first step was basically organizing these conferences because it attracts a lot of people. This year, we almost had 20,000 people. So it attracts a lot of people in this field. But we share free knowledge, and it's amazing knowledge. We do a lot of effort to make sure that knowledge is really state of the art. And in the second phase next year, with the organization Back to Our Nature, we will start with a very small group of 50 people, very diverse and very different fields. And we will start with this app. How should it look like? How can we measure things in the most easy way, just step by step? And how can we start share it with people so they can use it and see, like, hey, how can we build on top of that? And it's a journey. It's it's a really cool journey. And we will launch this next year, finding those 50 people.
It sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
It does sound really good because even, you know, you're talking about the various different kind of avatars before. I even know of some hypnotherapists who I've seen on trainings with me who are still afraid to see clients years into this. And I tend to think, how much knowledge must you have? Because I see you on trainings all the time. What is it that is holding them back from being able to step forward into, you know, into embracing who they are as a hypnotherapist? You know, if it's like if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, does it make a sound? Or it's like if a hypnotherapist does a whole lot of training but never sees a client.
Well, I think there are multiple things there. Some people are more entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. and they just start talking to everyone, and some people are more introvert and not that introvert and entrepreneur are linked, but I mean, they want to stay in a comfort room and comfortable place. And, yeah. And they just don't see people. And so it just doesn't happen. So there, you have to do quite some actions in order to talk about it, to reach out to people, to be able to explain what you do, then have the confidence to do it. There are quite some steps there. And this is, for me, this is a training. This is like, hey, now you know a technique, let's go to the next step in your journey. It's like a game. And if we could help people, I think amazing things could happen there. And yeah, but the funny thing is here, if it's a confidence problem, you could say like, hey, if you really believe in hypnosis, use hypnosis to solve that. And it's sometimes really weird that people have this, we all struggle with our own mental challenges. But in how, if we are the advocates of hypnotherapy, why shouldn't we use it ourselves? And sometimes these are the things where people should be aware of. Like, hey, maybe it's because you're not confident enough in the technique or the thing. So, and I understand that really well because I had that issue myself. It worked sometimes brilliantly and other times it didn't work and I had no control over why. So basically you just go ahead with that. But it would be great if you used the techniques on your own by asking help to others. Are you prepared to pay $100 to a hypnotherapist to solve your problem? If you don't, maybe that's the first problem.
First problem, exactly. Yes. Thinking ahead into the future, you know, discussed a few different things there, but what about for you personally as a hypnotherapist? Where do you see yourself going?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have to split up my time with these conferences, and I'm outsourcing a lot to Michelle Rosenthal, who is an expert in hypnosis for trauma, but also is our community manager. So she is taking a lot of out of my hands. So I'm building my team so I can outsource these kind of things. But so first of all, it is organizing multiple summits, because if we want to make hypnosis mainstream, we have to step out into the mainstream. We should go to conferences that are not about hypnosis and talk about hypnosis.
Stop
staying in the bubble. So that's also one of the reasons we need to organize multiple summits and conferences. The second thing is, me as a therapist, I want to understand more about these patterns of success. So I want to work with a lot of great people, starting with a select group of 50, to understand this and to set up this thing here. And my biggest question is, if we know and we understand patterns, could we help, or could I help, because this is my passion. I'm an entertainer as well. So my dream, to be honest, is to be in front of an audience and to help people heal from phobia, for example. But like in mass groups. And you could say like, hey, there are solutions already today, but it doesn't work for everyone. So my key answer on it is, if we know for who it works and we invite these people to these, it's an ethical thing for me. Yeah. It's something in my head. It's just, if people pay for something, I want them to be, the success rate should be there, right? Not 100%, but. And so I want to work with, this is my dream. If I have these patterns, I can invite the right people to the right events and help them. Scale up things. Yeah, scale up things.
Also from a selling point, you know, I'm not quite sure how you would ascertain how each person may fit into particular patterns. But if you are able to nut that out, it would be extraordinary to be able to say to people, well, we can figure out what type of approach is going to work absolutely best for you and guarantee that there's going to be some success that comes with that. It almost feels like a no-brainer.
Well, here's the thing. And this is the cool thing about my marketing background. If you look at algorithms like on Facebook or even in Alibaba, for example, Alibaba, they have algorithms that determine if someone who loves chocolate with a certain profile, certain touch points on things you do, things you watched, if they buy chocolate this week, the probability is 70% they will buy a television next week. It doesn't make any sense because it's so complex. But this is what happens on a daily basis, So if we can use that technology and bring it to something, not to sell things, but to improve mental health care, what would that mean? I want my website to be a dashboard like we helped that many with the entire organization, Back to Our Nature, with thousands of therapists. We were able this year to help that many people stop smoking, which means we've monitored them for 2 years, right? Or 1 year, and we know that it worked, which means that many quality of life, that many years they get a quality life more they can spend with their children, that amount of money they can spend on amazing things, helping their children, that amount of money that governments don't have to invest in solving the issue of cancer, for example. Mm. And these metrics, these are the things, this is where I get my energy from, that image. And we can do that just by gathering people and saying, let's do it. Or we can create a system that supports each one of them to gain confidence. Mm. Because confidence is the result of all these things below it, right? Absolutely. So if we can empower people with that, and just starting with 50 people and move from there, that is, I think, if I would end there, I would say, well, I did my part.
I think you're personifying, you're the personification of a great hypnotherapist and an entrepreneur, which I'm really loving that kind of balancing act that goes there. You know, it's kind of rare to talk to a hypnotherapist and to have them thinking on such a global scale about how they can be innovative and really redefine, you know, some of these aspects of our industry. So congratulations and thank you to you for doing that.
Well, wow. Thank you. It's encouraging to hear those words, Lawrence. Mm. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. What were you going to say?
What I wanted to say is about the entrepreneurship. This is the thing I live in every aspect of my life. It is amazing things happen if everyone wins. And so if we can empower hypnotherapists, and actually I'm not looking to hypnotherapists, I'm looking to everything that is happening in the world on mental health care right now, because there's so much, if you look at science, and I understand that, but they stay quite away from these alternative methods. And I have just something, I understand that, but why not measure it?
Yeah.
If we can measure it, we can understand something. So what I wanted to say is basically amazing things happen if everyone wins. And if we can make it sure it works for therapists, if it works for clients, if it works for the people in the organization, if it works for me and I get happy from it, then amazing things happen. And yeah. That is the red line, I think.
Now, if people wanted to reach out to you and say hello or to explore Hypno Summit, how can they do that?
Well, the best way, I think, where there's the most activity is on Facebook. Mm. So on Facebook, we have two groups. It's the Hypno Summit group, where everything is going on throughout the year about hypnotherapy. And there's also the Back to Our Nature organization, which is the organization behind Hypno Summit. And there, this is an empty group right now, but we will fill it with 50 people next year. And so if they want to get involved in this mission, they can become a member of the group, and you might be selected to join us in this journey. So Back to Our Nature Foundation group and Hypno Summit on Facebook.
It's feeling very Willy Wonka in a chocolate factory at the moment, isn't it? It's almost like it's like Willy Wonka in a chocolate factory. Almost feels like you get your bar of chocolate, and if you get the gold ticket, you're in. So
I don't know if you've ever read
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I might be going off in a very different tangent.
I know the movie, but I haven't seen it. Maybe you should.
Lynn, thank you so much for your time. This morning for you, this evening for me. It's been a really fascinating conversation and really exciting to hear about, you know, what your plans are, the direction you're taking things. My mind's been blown, so thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, that was not my purpose to blow your mind. No. Thank you very much for having me. It was great to be here and to speak to your audience and to learn from you as well. Looking forward to hear it on the podcast itself.
On the interwebs, yes.
On the interwebs. Yeah.
Thanks everyone for watching. I hope you've had a great listen, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, take care.
Bye.